We pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. In Kabul a couple weeks ago, first came the message, get to the airport as quickly as you can. Quickly to be followed up with the words, stay away from the airport. There's a suicide bomber. When your enemy bombs your only way out of the country, you end up being trapped in your own house with the clock running out, the last plane preparing to take off. Fortunately, even after the suicide bomber, our military was able to fly away thousands of Americans and Afghani allies. And yet, tragically, there were hundreds of Americans and thousands of others who were left behind. And we mourn for the 13 American military and the 169 Afghanis who were killed in that suicide bombing. The devil uses that tactic of detain and delay until time runs out, not only in war, but also in his battle against our souls, to kill our faith. The clock is ticking while a plane is getting ready to make its last flight to heaven. Satan tries to distract us, to detain us, to turn our eyes away from Jesus and to distract us by bombing our lives with all kinds of disasters. Or perhaps rocking us to sleep in the hammock of life of our luxuries and pleasures, oh so nice. Or by obsessing us with that quest to build industry, businesses, dynasties, legacies. The devil's goal? To distract us, to detain us, so we don't get to the airport of the church and get upon the flight home to heaven. Oh Lord, don't leave without me, the cry goes up. I was just trying to live my life. Yes, the Lord says. The only thing you were interested in was just living your life. When the reporters go home and the cameras are turned off, what do you think will happen to the Americans who are trapped in Afghanistan? Or to all the Afghans who have helped the Americans for the last 20 years? Or to the women of Afghanistan. The Apostle Paul knew what it was firsthand to suffer at the hands of a wicked government. Despite the Roman persecution of the Christians in their country, God had Paul write, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Wicked men might cut off our heads or set us on fire, but ultimately they can only kill our body. Our greater danger is the evil forces of darkness, the satanic forces who wish to kill our faith. As wicked as tyrannical governments are, our greater danger is not whether America becomes socialist, but whether we become atheists. Paul was warning those persecuted Ephesians, stand strong in God's armor or be destroyed in the devil's evil. What kind of lies will the Taliban have to tell their people in order to justify their treatment of their women? forcing their wives and daughters to cover themselves with black cloth, surrender their car keys and their textbooks, become slaves to their husbands, to be beaten by their families in public on any occasion. The world is full of lies and liars, from homes to classrooms, to business halls, to the halls of government, even into churches. Satan loves to spit his lie from his tongue into our ears. To this very day, the devil still whispers at us, "Did God really say that you should have no other gods beside him? You won't die. Why, you can become like God. You can be your own God. You decide for yourselves what is right and wrong. You can have whatever desire you have in your heart, never having to admit you've done any evil, never having to say you're sorry, not even to God." Satan promises, "Listen to me, and I will set you free, free like me." Do we feel the tug? The suction in all of those lies, the itch, the spark, the burn, promising us everything, delivering only the fires of hell. From heaven, God calls down through his holy word to his children here, "Stand firm with a belt of truth buckled around your waist." God has spoken absolute truth, revealing it, wrapping it around our waist like a belt, holding us together with it, strengthening us through it, through his strong, immovable truth, breaking the back of every lie and casting out the devil's darkness by the bright light of his truth. God irrevocably said, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God besides me." That will never change. God binds his truth to our hearts, telling us that we are sinners for whom there is only one Savior. Jesus explained God's absolute truth to Nicodemus when he said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Again, Jesus spoke absolute truth to his disciples when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is our one and only jetliner off this planet that is soon to be consumed in fire. Do we trust Jesus when he says, "The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life"? "If you hold my teaching, then you are really my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Perhaps the Taliban will try and poison their American captives into believing that America is truly evil, of the devil, that Islam and hating America is truly God-ordained. The devil would like to poison our hearts too, our exposed hearts and lungs and spleen and liver. And the devil wants to poison us with his poison darts, shooting two opposing opinions at us all at the same time. He wants us to believe with our feverish mind that everyone lies, lusts, cheats, is obsessed with themselves. So we might as well go along and be like that too. And the other truth? Oh, but we're not as bad as those other people, even though we do the same thing. Because we have justification for our lying, lusting, cheating, and being obsessed with ourselves. Satan tries to tempt us to focus on them, the others out there, not the person in the mirror. Those other ones, because they truly are the wicked ones. Jesus protects our hearts and underbellies from the devil's poison darts. He says, stand firm then, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. What covers our vulnerable hearts, our inner organs? Jesus has lived the holy, perfect life for us. Our sins are washed clean. Satan accuses us of gross sins, and we say, yes, we have indeed sinned much and deserve eternal punishment. Jesus, however, has given his righteous life to wash us clean, to cover our vulnerable hearts, to wrap us in the robe of his righteousness. We no longer hide our sinfulness by looking at other people's sinfulness. No, rather we rejoice that our hearts are covered with Jesus' righteousness and we have peace with God. How many Americans and Afghan allies are trying to fly under the radar of the Taliban, shutting off their cell phones, hiding in basements and barns, moving from safe house to safe house? It is hard to know where next to step when the enemy is on your heels. First, the devil tempts us to sin. And as soon as we do, then he turns around and shoots us with the arrows of guilt right into our hearts so that we stagger around like a wounded deer, bleeding and dying, tripping over our own wretchedness. Jesus calls for us to stand strong in God's armor, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The devil is frustrated because we have a firm footing. Neither angels nor demons nor anyone else will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our journey heavenward is simple and straightforward. As we walk in the gospel of our Lord, we sinners are declared the forgiven children of God. Just that remarkable. Our feet walk securely, firmly, energetically in the unending mercies of our Savior. What shield do any of the Afghans have against the brutality of Taliban or ISIS? Are we sitting ducks for the devil's brutality, for his attack, his mutilation, his destruction at his will? In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. God shields us through faith, through the faith that he has given us. Time and again, as the devil attacks us, we go back to God's word for refuge and safety, trusting his promises, committing our lives into his care and keeping, confident that we are still his children and heaven is our home, praying for his will to be done. Satan cannot reach us because God himself stands between the devil and us, shielding us as we trust in his word. The devil cannot mess with our minds or terrorize our souls when our hearts, minds, and souls are in God's word. In my memory, if my memory serves me correctly, citizens of Afghanistan are not allowed to have weapons. There's a reason for that law. God does not leave us without a weapon when it comes to the battle over our soul. No, God has given us the greatest offensive weapon which defeats the devil every single time. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God carries the power of God. In the battle for our souls, we need to be serious about cutting off the devil's head every time that snake shows itself. We have our children memorize Bible verses in Sunday school, in catechism class, in Lutheran elementary school, so that they will be able to recite those Bible verses in that hour of temptation. Here is the challenge. We each know exactly where the devil will attack us, in our pet sins, in our doubts, in our fears. Specifically, find that Bible verse that condemns that sin, and another Bible verse that fills our hearts with his forgiveness. Memorize them, recite them. Put them in the chamber of your rifle and point your rifle right at the head of Satan. It won't be long before the devil shows himself through our sinful flesh. Recite them, verse by verse. Focus on them. Shout them from the rooftop. And command the devil to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. We may be surprised just how powerful the Word of God truly is and the outcome of that battle. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Oh God, give us your superhuman strength that we may bring you glory in this corrupt and wicked age. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, guide us ever onward. You provide each day all that we need to draw us closer to you and for us to stand firm in our faith. Be with us, dear Lord. Open our eyes to see and our hearts to hear the power of your word in us and through us. Bless us and shield us, good shepherd, now and all the days that you have ordained in Christ our Savior. Amen.